Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of our three-part interview with John Doc Shear, the author of the book, The Verse After the Verse. This has been a fascinating conversation so far. I hope you're getting a lot out of it. I know I am. As he's discussing, if you take these often quoted verses of Scripture that people just throw out there, if you take the verse after that one, it really opens up a clear understanding about what the original intent of the verse people often quote means, such as, you know, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. All things are possible with God. You know, if you read the verse after that, it opens up a clear understanding, a deeper revelation, and will actually help you in your Christian walk. Now, let's jump right back into part two of this interview with John Doc Shear.
Created that dynamic. And so I put that sermon series together. And then I had, as I was in the midst of preaching that, you know, I had people come up to me after church and they said, yeah, you ought to write this in a book. and so I love writing, you know, as a pastor, I write sermons every week. I have a blog that I maintain. I'm always writing this, that, or the other. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to dedicate the time and study to do this. Now, what happened in that process is I got an infection in my foot. And I was in the hospital for four different times with three different surgeries to try to save my foot and save the infection in my foot. And unfortunately, all the modern medical treatments did not work. And the doctors came in one morning and they said, John, we've done everything we can. We can't save your foot anymore. And if we don't remove your foot, we don't know if we're going to be able to save your body. And so I had to have what they call a below the knee amputation of my right foot. Well, you know, that was a traumatic experience, but it happened right at the time that I was starting to put together this idea for this book. And so what happened was God said, you know what? I want you to write this book, and you've got nothing else to do now for several weeks, and you've got the time now to go ahead and write this book. And so that's how it came about.
Wow. Yeah, that's not as drastic, health reason, and people have heard me say this story before, so it's nothing new. You know, I'm a retired cop. I was hurt on the job, working an accident scene and on the highway at a huge rainstorm. I end up getting hurt in the accident scene as well. And eventually had to retire. 3 years later, they said, you know, all these I've had 32 medical procedures since May 12, 2007.
You have me beat.
Well, I'm not in a wheelchair, praise God, you know, but, you know, chasing the bad guys down the alleys and stuff, that wasn't going to happen anymore. But I was sitting there just, you know, with my leg, it was a third surgery on my knee, and I'm, you know, wrapped up, can't do anything. And I said, Lord, what, you know, they're talking about retirement. What do you want me to do? And that's when it came, you know, begin a weekly 30-minute online radio program. Now, this was a faith step by God because I had to have help checking email. Okay. But, you know, we researched it, and we started it, and it grew into the radio station and the podcast and, you know, everything that's coming now. So, you know, God can take what the devil meant for harm and turn it to his good. That is 100% fact.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me share with you a story that happened to me in the hospital that was, I believe, a godsend message. So I had had the amputation, and they said that I would be a candidate for a prosthetic. So I would wait for about a 6-week period of time for the healing to take place. And then I would be fitted with a prosthetic. And after a while, I would be able to walk and resume my normal activities. Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly had my doubts and my concerns and everything. So one as I'm recovering from the surgery, there's the nurses that were on staff rotated around. So every night I had a different nurse. And I remember this nurse that came in, and she was a wonderful, very, very caring, very friendly person. Took great care in making sure that I was comfortable, that my medication was correct and all of that. And she was in and out for the entire night. And I said to her the next morning, she was about to get off of her shift. And I said, you know, I understand that I needed to have this foot amputated, but, you know, and I know I'm going to be fitted with a prosthetic, but I'm just, you know, I have my concerns and I have my doubts. And she turned to me and she said, let me show you something. And she raised up her pant leg, and she had a prosthetic foot. Hmm. And she had lost that as the result of a car accident. And she said, you know what, having a prosthetic is no big deal. God will help you through that journey. And on the other side, you won't even notice that you have a prosthetic. Mm. And she was right. She was absolutely right. But that was an absolute godsend to me. Yep. To help me get through a very difficult medical period in the time of my life. And, yep. and I cover that at the very end of the book. It's the 13th chapter of the book about my health journey and about her ministry to me. So,
man, yeah, I mean, God foreknew from the foundation of the world that night your faith would waver just a little bit, yep. And he had someone pre-positioned in place to give you encouragement.
Well,
God saw.
Yeah, and then the next day it was a different nurse, and I never saw her again. Never saw her again. But God used her in that moment to help restore my faith and take away any doubts. The minute she walked out of that room, I had no more doubts. I knew I was going to be able to be fitted with the prosthetic and go back into the active ministry. But I guess in a humorous way, the thing I was really hoping for is that I'd be able to go back and play on the golf course, because golf is one of my favorite pastimes. And yes, the answer is yes, I was able to get back. In fact, I know golf is all a mental thing, but I'm playing a little bit better, you know, since the prosthetic. So I know it's all mental, but at any rate, yes, I was able to, I'm able to resume everything that I was doing before as a pastor, as a husband, as a leader in the church, as a preacher, as a speaker, as a book writer. God is wonderful.
Yeah. I love golf as well. Matter of fact, the first time I ever played golf, I shot a 99.
Wow.
Yeah. I only played 8 holes, though.
So. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. So I play in a couple of leagues. So the other day I showed up with, and my partner was there, and I said, I think I'm going to shoot a 37 today. We play 9 holes. Yeah. I think I'm going to shoot a 37. And I said, then I don't know what I'm going to do for the remaining 5 holes.
That was me. Yeah, my grandson, he was like a natural growing up. He was playing golf with me as a cop. You know, I was working midnight, so my buddies and I, we'd get off and be beautiful day, you know, and they'd say, hey, let's go play golf. And it was summertime, you know, so I'd get him up and you know, we'd go play golf because he loved golf. And he beat everybody. I mean, you know, he was playing from the Reds. He's only like 7 years old at the time.
Wow.
But he'd smoke us. That either showed how good he was or how bad we really were.
Yeah. Well, my son plays as well. We are partners in another league. So I play in 2 leagues a week. But anyhow, he and I are partners now. My son is in his mid-30s, and mm-hmm. he can drive the ball 280, 290 yards. You know, I'm lucky to get it 220 yards, maybe on a good day.
Yeah.
With the wind right and, you know.
A good downhill roll.
Good downhill roll, and it's real dry. And, yeah. So he smokes the ball.
Amen.
You know, I love it. I love playing the game. So. Yeah,
and it's outside. It's exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's nothing more beautiful for me. One of the courses we play up in the North County area, there are a lot of deer that come across, and there's nothing more beautiful than me standing there on the tee box, ready to tee off, and you're looking at this beautiful fairway, and all of a sudden a family of deer come across, and of course you don't want to hit because you don't want to hit into them, and you just sit there in awe of their crossing, and it, you know, that's just it's a real aha moment for me to see to see God's majesty at work.
Yeah, amen. We and of course we played up here. I haven't played in a couple of years because of the back issues and stuff, but you know, I loved going out, and we'd have bald eagles making their nests like right next to the tee box up in a tree and stuff. Oh. It was cool, you know.
Yeah,
I started off with verse Romans 8:28. What can you tell us about a deeper meaning with verse 29?
With Romans 8:29?
Yeah, 8:28, 8:29.
Yeah, I don't have 29 here with me. What's 29? Because I used Romans 3:20.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. We can go ahead and talk about that one first.
Okay. You know, everybody knows Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Yep.
And I read that verse and I thought, well, you know, it's the truth. You know, we're all, as Presbyterians like to say, we're stuck in the muckety muck. we're sinned. We're not in company with God. God hates the sin. Where's the hope at? In that verse, where's the salvation? And so you just read that verse, and everybody knows that verse. But if you read the verse after the verse, it basically said, but you know, God's grace is so powerful that it can reach down through what Jesus did and bring us redemption. Well, there's the hope.
Yeah.
So in those two verses, you have the whole story. You have where we are as human beings in our sinful nature that separates us from God. But, oh, wait a minute. There's Jesus who came to bring us redemption by God's grace. And so that connects the two verses, and it makes a real powerful connection.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And everybody quotes that, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yeah. And that's where they ended.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, where's the hope in that? Okay, I'm a sinner. All right. I'm stuck in the muckety muck. But I don't want to be in the muckety muck. How do I get out of the muckety muck? Well, the bottom line is you can't get out of the muckety muck by your own self. You have to rely on the grace of God through the salvific work of Jesus, and by your acceptance and belief in that, suddenly you are now back in a new relationship with God. Amen. And that's what those two verses, companion verses, tell us. That's the dynamic.
Amen. The verse that I was using, Romans 8:28, you know, we know all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. How do those two...
Yeah, and of course, you know, as a Presbyterian, we tend to base our theology on Calvin, and that was one of Calvin's big theologies, was this whole notion of predestination. Now, I have a little bit of a more modern take on predestination. I think predestination relates more to what God is predestined to do based upon God's plan for us. So let me explain that. I think that humans have free choice. We can either choose a path of sin or we can choose a path of salvation.
Right.
And so when we choose that path of salvation, then God has already promised us that salvation. So in a sense, God is predestined to say, yes, you've accepted my son. You've accepted the plan of salvation. Yes, you are saved. So God, that's the way I kind of look at predestination. So when I look at this these two companion verses, that's an understanding that I have out of that, is that that God, even though God begins this salvific process from the beginning of time for each one of us, that plan is there for us. It's not like, well, it's there for you, but it's not there for this other person. And it's, you know, there's certain people that it's for and certain people. No. I think the plan is there in this understanding for these two companion verses. The plan is there for everyone. It's based upon God's grace through the work of Jesus, but then requires our acceptance of that. And that's how I understand the companionship of those verses.
Amen. Doc, sometimes I know people can't listen all the way through to the end of the interviews and all that. So I'd like to ask you right now, you know, if someone had a question for you, wanted to reach out to you, get in contact, and to buy your book, how can they do
it? Yeah, I have my own website. It's called docshearpubs.com. So it's docshearpubs.com. Mm-hmm. You can go on to that website and you can see a little bit more information about me. You have an opportunity to purchase the book through that website. There's also my email address as well as a phone number. And people, I certainly don't mind if someone wants to call and have some additional conversation with me. And all of that is listed on my website.
Okay. All right. Is your book available on Amazon as well?
It is available on Amazon. Now, one of the unique things that I have going is that so not only did I write the book, but then I turned around and wrote a study guide, a 35-page study guide that goes along with the book. And so the study guide is either for an individual or can be used in a group setting. And basically it takes each one of the verse after the verses, that each chapter, and then it unpacks those chapters further. It has cross-references to other scriptural passages. It takes some of the story examples that I use and challenges the reader to think up their own stories that might relate to that particular thing. Mm-hmm. When you go onto my website, when you purchase the book through my website, then it will send me all the information for me to send you the book. It will also give me your email address, and then I email you the study guide.
Absolutely.
Can't do that if you go to Amazon or any of the other places where it's being sold. But you can get the study guide on my website. And my phone number is there and my email is there. So if you are going to maybe, and I've had several people do this as a small group study. If you're going to do that, just contact me by email or phone, and I can offer a reduced price of the book if you do a bulk purchase of the book.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And I'll put all the links to that down in the show notes down below.
Okay.
Now, give us a couple more examples of how, in reading a scripture, the verse after the one being quoted can change the dynamics of the verse. What other ones have you got?
Yeah, sure. So, for example, the second chapter of the book deals with Jeremiah 29:11-12. Starts out with, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and future."
Yep.
And that, all right, that's verse 11.
Yep.
And that's great. God's got plans for us. Sometimes, though, when we look at that, where does the creative freedomness that God also gives us, how does that hook up in a plan? I mean, sometimes I think we look at God's plan and we almost think, well, God's got everything worked out, so why do I need to engage in it? I'm just gonna let the plan happen, right?
Right.
But when you read verse 12, it says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you."
Mm.
Wow. Mm. So that means that, yeah, God's got a plan, but God wants us to be engaged with God in that plan. And I certainly think that you know, as humans, when we feel challenged or concerned by a plan, when we share that with God, it creates a community, a relationship with God that allows us to better understand the plan and allow us to better unfold what God has for us. I think, you know, the basic reason for creation of humans in the first place is to create a dynamic, a fellowship, a community with God. And in fact, I believe that's the whole notion of Imago Dei, that we're created in the image of God, so that we can be in a relationship with God. So God has these plans, but God wants us to not just sit there and go, okay, what's the plan for today, God? No, God wants a relationship, wants us to be involved. It you know, it would be like in a human relationship with a spouse or a child or whatever, where you woke up one morning and you said, okay, what's the plan for today? Okay, here it is. I've written it all out. I'll see you later. I think, you know, what fun is that? You know, I want the plan to include the person that I love in that plan with me, so we can have an engagement during the execution. You know, I'll follow the plan, but I want that person to be engaged with me. And I think that's exactly what this is saying about God's plan.
Amen. Yeah, I mean, you know, you use Jeremiah 29:11. That was, you know, as I was facing losing my law enforcement career due to the injury, you know, I was wondering, God, is this a door for me, you know, to enter full-time ministry as what I'm doing today? And, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 gave me hope, you know, and, you know, verse 12, you know, he knows, you know, I call upon him, he'll answer me. But I also like verse 13, and you shall seek me and find me when you search with me with all your heart. You know?
Yeah. I mean, well, that almost sounds like the verse after the verse after the verse.
Amen.
maybe that's the next book.
I wonder how all this works together.
yeah.
Like God really knew what he was doing when he wrote this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No doubt about it. No, it may have been written by human hands, but it was certainly directly inspired by the Spirit of God in order to be able to understand and know how we're to be as God's faithful disciples.
Amen. Now, as you were enduring your physical problems, how did scriptures give you hope and encouragement to continue your walk with God while undergoing all these situations?
Well, let me share with you chapter 9, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. So that's verse 5. Okay, I'm supposed to trust in God and not look at my own decisions, because there's a weakness there, and I need to recognize that weakness. But then it goes on with verse 6, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths what? Straight. Mm-hmm. He will make your paths straight. And so I basically talk about walking the straight path. And I one of the stories I share in this is when I was in high school, I went to a church camp. And because I was a Boy Scout, I was always asked to build the campfire that night. And of course, you know, I always had to build the biggest fire ever. And in fact, I remember one time the fire was so big, everybody kept moving back from the fire circle, you know. And finally, they called me into the office the next day and they said, could you please not build such a big fire? But anyhow, the path leading from the cabins to the fire circle was a very difficult path to walk. It was very narrow, and there was kind of a fall off on one side and a lot of branches and everything else. Now, when it was dark after we had put the fire out and we were trying to get back up to the cabins, there was one time where we only had I always had a partner with me, and we only had one flashlight. And so as we're walking, I'm trying to figure out the best way to walk along this path. And what we decided was that the person with the flashlight would walk in the front, shine the flashlight down on the path, and then I would follow directly behind them on that path, because the flashlight would illuminate the path. Mm-hmm. I couldn't walk beside them because I would run into brush or fall off the edge. I couldn't walk in front of them because there would be no light. And mm-hmm. so the best place was to walk right behind them so that I was in their light to light up and shine my path. Amen. And that's, you know, that's an illustration that I use to make this understanding, to help us understand how God will make us our path straight. I think as I did a little bit of research on that, that kind of fits, you know, the other ideas where God's light will shine on our path to provide us a path to follow. And so, yeah, that's so applied to my journey. If I tried to accomplish that journey on my own, I was destined to have lots of moments of failure and setback. But if I let Christ and the light of Christ be there right in front of me, shining it on the path that I was to follow, then I knew I would get to where God wanted me to be.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here again. We are all out of time for today's episode, which was part two of a three-part interview with John Doc Shears. We've been discussing his book, The Verse After the Verse. It is so important. I hope you're getting a lot out of this because this will improve your Bible study time, and it'll help you if you study out the verse after the most popular verses, and you hear someone, you know, at work or at a family meeting, you know, get together, something like, and they just drop a Bible verse on you, you'll be able to say, do you really understand what it means when you say something like that? And they're like, well, all things work together for good of them that love the Lord. Yeah, but did you understand that the last part of that verse is, and who are called according to his purpose? You just can't throw a verse out there willy-nilly and think, well, all things will work out because God's in it. Not if you're walking outside of an area of your calling, it won't. I mean, that's the type of depth and understanding you're going to get when you read John's book, The Verse After the Verse. Now, tomorrow, you need to come back because we're going to be concluding our interview with John Doc Shear as Doc goes into even more detail that just opens up the scriptures to you. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.